1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to begin reading here in verse number 1 this morning. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1. Let's read. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You've done. Dear Father, we come before You today just praising You and lifting up Your holy name, dear Lord, and saying hallelujah. Praise the Lord, You are risen. Dear Father, we come today together to celebrate Your resurrection as we do every time we gather in this place. But, dear Father, especially today, the day that we've set aside to specifically, in a special and in a unique way, remember Your resurrection. Dear Father, I pray this morning that You would, dear Lord, speak to each heart that's here. Dear Father, I know You're in the midst. Dear Lord, because Your Word says where two or three are gathered together in My name, there You are in the midst of them. So, dear Father, I don't have to pray for You to be here because I know You're here. But, dear Father, I pray this morning that You would take and that Your Holy Spirit would work in each and every heart that's here. I pray that, dear Lord, You would help through Your Word this morning and through Your Holy Spirit that, dear Father, You would give conviction where that's needed, that You'd give comfort where that's needed. Dear Lord, where encouragement's needed, I pray that You would do that. Dear Lord, just do the work that needs to be done in the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us that's here. Dear Lord, I've got some things in my heart, dear Lord, no doubt that You need to speak to me about. And dear Father, I pray that You'd do that this morning. Dear Lord, I pray that You'd just use us as Your vessel this morning. Fill us full of Your Holy Spirit power. Anoint us. Dear Lord, the only way that anything will be done this morning, not as if I do it, but if You do it. And Your Holy Spirit does it. So, dear Father, please help us this morning. We give You the glory ahead of time for what You're going to do, for what You have already done. And thank You, dear Father, for rising from the dead for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 what's commonly referred to as the gospel in a, y'all help me?
Nutshell.
But I almost took and brought a nut this morning, a pecan or something like that, for example. But just kind of picture that in your mind this morning as we go through the message that the Lord's laid on our hearts. But we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the whole message of salvation, the whole message really of the gospel and what Jesus Christ done. I tell you, if you know, there's many verses you can use when you're sharing with someone how to be saved. When you're sharing with someone the message of the gospel, there's lots of scripture verses you can use. There's really no wrong ones to use, I guess we could say. But this one is a good one. If you don't know a lot of verses to turn to in Scripture, the Romans Road, most of the time we use that a lot of times when we talk to people. But if you can't remember those verses, 1 Corinthians 15, if you can remember that, you can turn here and show them these verses in John 3:16. And that's enough gospel right there that the Lord can use to work and to speak to someone's heart and to fully explain what the gospel message is. But today we know in particular is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. Now I want to be careful this morning as we begin the message to point out this, and we've mentioned this several times before in the past, not something new, that the reason why we take and gather together on Sunday is to celebrate the Lord's resurrection, because it was that day that the Lord took and come out of that grave. And so every Sunday we gather together is to remember and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But especially this day we've set aside down through the centuries to remember Christ's resurrection in particular. And so this morning we're celebrating His resurrection as we do every Sunday, as we should every Sunday, but especially in a special way today. Because we know in the Old Testament they used to meet on the Sabbath day, which was Saturday. But after the Lord rose from the dead on Sunday, then the believers started meeting on that day, remembering what the Lord has done in Him rising from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Praise the Lord, He's risen from the dead this morning. They buried Him in a borrowed tomb. And that tomb this morning and the cross both are empty. And praise the Lord that the throne is no longer empty. He's seated on the right hand of God the Father. the Lord Jesus Christ today. The tomb's empty, the cross is empty, but He's sitting there on the right hand of God the Father, occupying there today, who lives forevermore. He'll never die again. Praise the Lord, He was born to die, but now He lives for you and for I. Here we have in this verse, again, the gospel message in a nutshell. We say that and use that word, nutshell, just to simply show the fact that in this short, small little portion of Scripture is the whole gospel message, really. Everything concerning Christ and what He did for us and what He came to this earth for. Notice verse number 1, and we'll move through the message quickly this morning. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. In verse number 1, we see the declaration by the Apostle Paul. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare. We see the declaration that he declared to them was the message of the gospel. The message that he had declared to the Corinthian believers in the past, and now they were believers, was the message of the gospel. That's the message that Paul proclaimed and declared, and that's the message that you and I ought to declare today. That's what he declared, was the message of the gospel. Everywhere Paul went, he shared the message of the gospel. Notice it said that he preached the message of the gospel unto them, which also ye have received. These people that he's talking to here had received the message of the gospel. When he took and preached the message previously of the gospel to them, they accepted, they received the message of the gospel. In other words, as verse 2 says, they were saved because they had received the message of the gospel that he had taken and preached. Boy, ain't it a blessing when someone receives the message of the gospel. That's what happened here. They had heard the gospel message preached in the past. They received the message of the gospel. And now the Bible says they were standing. Wherein ye stand in the message of the gospel. So here they were. Not only had they heard it, not only had they received it, but now they were standing in it. And that speaks to me about they were believing it and they were taking and sharing it with others. Everywhere they stood, they were sharing the message of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God had done in our lives. He simply declared, what was the message of Paul? It was the message of the gospel. That was his declaration. Notice verse number 2. It says, by which also ye are saved. It was by the message of the gospel they were saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you. What did he preach? The gospel. Unless ye have believed in vain. We see in verse 1 the declaration, but in verse 2 we see the decision. We see that these people took and they made a decision to receive, to accept the message of the gospel. Hence Paul said at the beginning of the verse, by which also ye are saved. Because they had received, they had made a decision to accept the message of the gospel. It was through the preaching of the gospel that the Lord had worked in their hearts and they were convicted and they received this message. Turn with me if you would. Hold your place in Corinthians. We're coming right back. But turn to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. And we use a lot of verses in here a lot of times when we're sharing with someone the gospel. But notice Romans 10 and we'll start reading in verse number 13. Romans 10:13, a good verse of Scripture. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. There's a good promise. There's a good promise. This morning you say, Pastor, why do you believe that once a person's saved, they're always saved? Why do you believe that a person can know that they know that they know that they know, and we could keep on knowing for a little while, Brother Donald, that you're on your way to heaven? Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why. There's a promise. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We use that verse all the time. But notice verse number 14. How shall they then call? Verse 13 told us that if a person calls on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. But how will that person call, Brother Mike? How will they call, Brother Gary? How will that person call on the Lord? How shall they call on Him? How are they going to call on the name of the Lord to be saved? In other words, in whom they have not believed. Can a person really call on the name of the Lord and be saved if they have not believed in the Lord? Answer, no. Notice what he says here. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? If they hadn't heard about him, how can they believe in him? Right? You got to hear about him to believe in him. Notice the next part. It goes on, and how shall they hear? And I like this part. Without a preacher. So we're kind of working our way backwards. If you notice that, we're kind of walking backwards here. So don't stumble, but let's just walk backwards for a minute with the Scripture. Notice what verse 15 says. How do they hear? It said, how shall they hear? Without a preacher. Verse 15. And how shall they preach? And how are they going to hear? How are they going to believe? How are they going to call? And how are they going to be saved? Without a man of God preaching the Word of God, being called of God.
Amen. That's right.
That's the line, working backwards but yet forward, that Paul's saying here in these verses. Notice the verse that said, except he be sent, except they be sent. As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. I don't have beautiful feet, but the Lord says I do, so I do. Amen. And brings glad tidings of good things. Maybe big, I don't know about beautiful. But anyway, notice verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. May I say today, folks, that the Scripture progression is this. If you look at it backwards and you work your way back, the Bible says, how can a person be preached unless God calls them in sin? May I say today, you can't preach truly the message of the gospel with anointing and the power of the Lord and the way the Bible's talking about here unless you are a God-called preacher and being sent. The only way that a person, the Bible points out here, that what does God use for people to hear the message of the gospel is for them to take and to hear the Word of God preached. Preached. I guarantee you we could go around the room, and I'm not saying a person can't be saved through hearing a song on the radio or through reading their Bible, that the Lord can't work on their heart and they'll be saved. I was saved through hearing a special group come to church, singing a song. Now, I'd heard a lot of messages before that about the gospel, keep in mind. But I heard a group sing one night at church, and the Lord through that convicted me, and then later showed me some Scripture, Dad, after the service, and my pastor, and I wound up accepting the Lord as my Savior. So this morning, but the thing is, we hear the message of God. How shall you hear? By a preacher. How shall you believe if you have not heard? If you don't heard the message of the gospel, how are you going to believe the message of the gospel? How can you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved if you haven't heard about the Lord? You see this morning, verse 13 that we use often, it all starts with a person proclaiming the message of the gospel. And that's what Paul did in verse number 1, back that we looked at it, 1 Corinthians 15. He declared the message of the gospel. This morning, that's what we're trying to do with the Lord's help, is declare the message of the gospel that someone might hear the message, that someone might believe the message, that someone might take and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved this morning. You see, this morning, praise the Lord, this is the message that Jesus came, that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, so that you might hear, so that you might believe, so that you might be saved. You see, the Lord put you here this morning for a reason and for a purpose. I don't believe anybody just showed up this morning by happenstance. I don't believe in that type of stuff. You showed up this morning because God put you here. I'm behind the pulpit this morning. Why? Because for some reason God chose to call little old me to try to preach the message of the gospel, just like He called Paul years ago, so that you might hear the message of the gospel, so that just like others, when they heard the message of the gospel that's in the building this morning, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I ask you this morning, do you know the Lord? Do you know Him? You see the declaration and you see the decision. But notice something else. They made the decision to receive the gospel. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 17. We'll begin reading there. 1 Corinthians 1:17. It says, for Christ sent me not. We're talking about, again, being called of God, being sent by God. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. We're talking about the gospel in a nutshell. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Notice here, it's not with the wisdom of words that the message of the gospel is to be preached and taught according to God. Why do I point that out? I was looking earlier this week, and Carrie, you can share this with your dad. I know he's been looking some here lately at Spurgeon. And as I was doing some studying over the message yesterday through a unique thing, the Lord took and brought me across something that Spurgeon had said. And it reminded me so much of this verse right here. Spurgeon one time had somebody come to him and he said, "Hey," he said, "could you sum up for me in just a few words," he said, what you believe about God, what your theology is, what you believe about God. He said, "I can tell you in four words." The four words he used were this, and I quote, "Christ died for me." I said, "That's pretty good. Christ died for me." May I say today, Christ is risen for me. Amen. Christ died for me and Christ is risen this morning for me and for you. 1 Corinthians 18, it says, and 1 and verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Maybe even some that may be in the building this morning may be looking up here at this preacher and saying, "Hey, that's foolishness. That's craziness he's doing this morning. Walking all around. It's foolishness. It's craziness." Amen. I'm doing good then this morning. I need to keep on going. That's what the Bible's saying. "For the preacher of the cross is foolishness." The world takes and they look and they say, "That's craziness. That's foolishness. Why would you want to go and do that, this?" Praise the Lord, we're doing right. Let's keep on going, Brother Gary. We're heading in the right direction. If it's foolishness to the world, then we're doing right. Let's keep on going. It's sure not foolishness to God. Notice it says, "But unto us which are saved," we view it differently, the way that God does. It is the power of God. Praise the Lord. It's the power of God. It's the way God works. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God," the world by wisdom, what happens? The world by wisdom knows not God. Knew not God. "It pleased God." What pleases God this morning? I can give you one thing. The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And in verse 23, he said, "But we preach Christ crucified." This morning, that's what we've preached the past 2-3 weeks. We've preached on Christ crucified. What Christ said on the cross of Calvary. This morning, we're mentioning it again, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary. He was born, yes, at Christmas, we say. He was born, died, and rose again for you and for me. You see, that's the message of the gospel. That's the good news. That's what the word gospel means this morning, the good news. So we see in 1 Corinthians 15, we see that there was a declaration by Paul that he preached, and that was the message of the gospel. We see that thus these people took and they made a decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice they were also called brethren. That also, in verse number 1, speaks to the fact that they had become saved. They were his brothers and sisters in Christ, like the Bible talks about. Verse number 3, it says, "For I delivered," back in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." You see, Paul, before he ever started declaring the message of the gospel, he received the message of the gospel. He was a saved man. Amen? He was saved. Before he declared the message of the gospel, before he could go out and share the message of the gospel, he had to be born again himself. And he was saved. He had been accepted the message. He had received it, just like now these people, he said, had received it. And notice what the message was that they had received. Notice the delivery in verse number 3. Notice with me the delivery. He delivered the message of the gospel in a nutshell, as we call it. And notice what the message simply is of the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's number one. That's number one this morning. Christ died for our sins. I like the words of the Bible. Every one of them just right and just perfect. Brother Gary, He died for our sins. Kara, He died for our sins. Brother Mike, He died for our sins. Brother Hunter, He died for our sins. Brother Jerry, He died for our sins. And I could go on around the room to every one of you and say, "Hey, He died for our sins." I could take and go out today and find somebody on the street and I can say, "Hey, I don't even know their name." I could say, "Hey, you know what? Christ died for our sins." That's what the Bible says. He died for our sins this morning. Praise the Lord. That's what the message of the gospel is in part, that Christ died for our sins. Notice this, according to the Scriptures. We mentioned this morning in Sunday school, several times Jesus told His disciples, He told others that He was going to die and He was going to rise again. He had told them. This is what shouldn't have been. It was, but it shouldn't have been a surprise. They should have said, okay, well, there's Jesus. They're taking Him to trial. He's going to be crucified. Then when He was put in the tomb, well, let's go down there. So we were waiting for Him to come out. That's what really they should have known. Jesus is going to rise from the dead. This is what He said He was going to do. You see, these people, the delivery of the message, the first thing He delivered was Christ died for our sins. I like what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. 1 Peter 2:24, the Bible says, who His own self, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who His own self bear, here's those two words again, our sins. While He was there on that cross, He bare our sins. He bore the sins of me and Brother Hunter. Me and Brother Gary. We go back around the room again. Go out on the street, find somebody. While He was there on the cross of Calvary, He bare our sins. He died for our sins today, folks. For our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ died, who His own self bare our sins this morning in His own body on the tree. We talked about that, if you remember, last week, I believe it was, where when Jesus said from the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? At that moment, all the sins being placed on Him. He bare our sins. He bore your sins this morning. He bore my sins. The rest of the verse says this, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 John 2:2, another good verse of Scripture, says this, and He is the propitiation for our sins. He's the payment. He's how we're saved. He's how we're forgiven of our sins. For our sins. Again, those two words, our sins. And not for ours only, Brother Gary. Not for ours only, Brother Hunter, Brother Mike. Not for just mine and yours. Not for ours only. Here it is. But for the sins of the whole world. That's why I can go out on the street today, and I can say our sins to the whole world. Because that's who He died for. That's whose sins He bore on that cross of Calvary. The sins of the whole entire world. That's why we can preach the message this morning that all can be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance this morning. Because He died for all, and He bore the sins there on the cross of Calvary for all. He died simply so that all might be saved. Paul said Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Secondly, and that He was buried. When Christ died, by the way, we mentioned this morning in Sunday school, He died on the cross. Some try to deny that and say all this other stuff, but He died there on the cross. The Bible says that. He was buried. He was buried. Think about that with me for a minute. Now, not as you and I are buried today in the dirt or in the earth, most of us. But He was buried, we know, in a tomb. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. We say that because that tomb wasn't His own. It wasn't a family tomb, if you will. It wasn't next to, you know, mama or daddy, or a family tomb, if you will, or a place that they would be buried. But this was a borrowed tomb. It was one that they took, and I thought about this myself. Why did Jesus not need to go out and, Brother Mike, like a lot of people do nowadays, and I think Dad has done, he correct me later if I'm wrong, but go out and buy a piece of ground and get ready for that day. Buy the grave plot. A lot of people do that today. Jesus evidently didn't do that. Instead, He needed a borrowed tomb. He needed to just borrow one. Now, if I was to take and ask you this morning, and if I was to ask Dad, can I borrow your grave plot? Or one of y'all in here, can I borrow your grave plot if you went out and bought one? Or Brother Mike, if you've got a casket, I don't know if you do, already picked out, Lord knows it'll be like 50 years from now at least. But you say, you know, can I borrow your tomb? Can I borrow your graveyard plot? Can I borrow your casket that you've already purchased? Can I borrow it? The Lord Jesus Christ, He just needed a borrowed tomb. Now, He didn't go out and ask people for it, but you understand the point of what I'm saying this morning. It was borrowed because he didn't need one permanent. He wasn't going to be there permanent. It was just for a couple of days. Sometimes you hear people say, well, can I borrow this? And really what they're asking is, can I have that? But this was a borrowed tomb because the Lord wasn't going to be there long. He was buried there in that tomb, but it was only a short time. Notice the next thing. Why did he need just a borrowed tomb? Because he wouldn't be there long. The third thing it says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Praise the Lord this morning that he rose again the third day, just as he had foretold. Just as the Scriptures, it says here, according to the Scriptures. Just as the Scriptures had foretold. The Old Testament prophets had foretold. Here the Lord Jesus Christ rose out of that grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, victorious so that you and I might be saved. Amen? So that we might live forever. So that we might not have to go to hell and spend eternity. So that instead we could take and go to a place this morning that's called heaven. Amen? That's just as real as that place that's called hell. This morning, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You see, that's the message that Paul declared to this people. That's the message that they took when they heard preached by the man of God. They took and believed that message, accepted that message, and now they were standing in that message and they were saved. They were born again. They were brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ because they had accepted this message of the gospel. Christ buried, Christ died, Christ buried, and Christ rose again for our sins. And He lives forevermore.
Amen.
Today, do you know Him as your Savior? You see this morning, the message of the gospel is simple. The message of the gospel is plain. Why did He do all this? Because we're sinners for our sins. You see this morning, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether you want to admit it or not this morning, I don't have no problem admitting it, but whether you want to admit it or not this morning, you're a sinner. Any of you ever lied before? Every hand in the building ought to be shooting up right now. Any of you ever said a bad word before? Every hand in the building ought to be shooting up right now. Any of you men or women, don't raise your hand for this one. Any of you ever, men or women, have ever taken and lusted after someone before? I just named to you a few of the Ten Commandments right there, didn't I? How many of you ever took and coveted before? Wanted something that somebody else had so bad that you'd be willing to do whatever it took to get it? All of us. So there's no debating this morning, and there's really no denying, unless you're deceiving yourself, the simple fact that we all are sinners. We saw that Christ died on the cross and bare our sins. That's yours. So the only thing left this morning, the message has been declared this morning of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary and the message of the gospel. The question is this morning, will you take and make the decision to accept it? This decision this morning, someone asked the question, did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? Well, there's no debating that this morning. I'm not going to sit around and debate with somebody, did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? Why? Because the Bible says it, that settles it. You either believe it or you don't. Creation, I'm not going to debate it. God says it, that settles it. You believe it or you don't. What is there to debate? You either believe God or you don't believe God this morning. Do you accept Him or you don't? Now I'll show you from the Scripture what the Bible says, which is different than having an argument. I'm not going to argue with you about that. The Bible says it. You believe it by faith. That's the only way to be saved. Faith in God. This question this morning is not, did Jesus rise from the dead, as many want to seek to try to ask. Let me show you just one thing this morning to prove the argument that Christ rose from the dead. Just in case there's somebody in here that might say, that's a fairy tale, that's a fable, I've heard that all my life, I really don't know about that. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 5, right where you at in your Bible, it says, and that he was seen of Cephas. Who's Cephas? Y'all help me. I can't hear you.
Was he the high
priest? Right. There's several people, Cephas, one of them, that saw the Lord Jesus Christ after He rose from the dead. The first one, Cephas. Y'all keep count with me now, on your fingers. Y'all might have to take off your shoes when we get to counting here in just a second, okay? All of us. Cephas, there's one. We're going to use a thumb. One. Then of the... seen with their own two eyeballs that you all are looking at me at this morning, or your Bible. Well, I'm running out of hands here. I need three more fingers. Kara, give me three fingers. Alright. So we see so far how many? 12 and 1? 13. Y'all help me now. 13 have saw Jesus rise from the dead. You say that's not enough? Alright, let's read on then. Let's read on. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. Okay. Kara, give me the rest of your fingers. Everybody in here, take off your shoes. Hold your feet up in the air and your hands. We're still short, Brother Mike. We're still short. 513, if I'm counting right now, that saw the Lord Jesus Christ after He had risen from the dead. 513 eyewitnesses. Now, if we was in a court of law, Brother Hunter, and if a judge was sitting up there, and you was being tried, Lord forbid, brother, you was being tried for, let's make it small. This ain't small, but let's make it as small as we can. You was being tried for speeding. That's a small one, ain't it? We've all probably been there. But you was being tried for speeding. You used to have 513 people walk in and say he was not speeding. Now, I don't know how you exactly have that, but 513 people walk in, Brother Mike, and say, he was not speeding. He was not speeding. He was not speeding. He was not speeding. Guess what? That judge is going to have a hard time not saying not guilty. 513 witnesses. Then why do we take and have to sit around and dispute that Jesus rise from the dead? Why debate it? I've got 513 witnesses I can show you in one verse of Scripture that saw Jesus with their own two eyes. What am I debating for? 513. You believe it or you don't. Verse 6. Move on down. 513. Everybody's got their shoes off, hands in the air, feet in the air. Let's go on a little farther. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are falling asleep. Some of them still alive. Some of them were dead at this point. Verse 7. After that, he was seen of James. There's you another one. Then of all the apostles. There's some more. And last of all, he was seen of me also. There's you another one. The apostle Paul, as one born out of due time. We could throw Mary in there. We could throw the two on Emmaus, the road to Emmaus in there. We could throw a lot of people in there that saw the Lord Jesus Christ after He arose from the dead. Let's march all those witnesses into a court saying, Brother Hunter did not speed. What's going to happen? He's going to be acquitted. It's going to be a long trial, but it's going to be a pretty simple one. Not guilty. So why this morning do we even need to ask the question, did Jesus rise from the dead? May I say, we don't. Case dismissed. Amen. He rose from the dead. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's not the question this morning. The question this morning is this, do you believe it and have you received it? Do you believe it and have you received it? Will you accept the message of the gospel? The message that changes your heart and your life when you truly accept it. Not that you'll take and you'll not that there'll be that necessarily just an immediate overnight everything and your whole life changes. We all have things, but there'll be a change. The Bible says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away and all things are become new. A person truly gets born again, truly accepts the message of the gospel, there'll be a change, just like a new creature. A new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening to a song this morning on the computer that I've never heard before. It was called The Second Birth, Brother Mike. I like that song. And it says basically this, I don't remember my first birth. Any of y'all remember that? Remember the day you come out of your mother's womb? I don't. He said, but I'll never forget the second.
Amen.
May I say today, praise the Lord for that second birth. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Do you know Him as your Savior this morning? You see, the message was declared. The decision now must be made. Someone may say in the building, I'm not going to make that decision today. Okay. Guess what you just did? You made a decision. You made a decision. The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. John 3:17-18. Because he hath not, he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed on the only begotten Son of God. Real close to how that says. But you're condemned already. You see this morning, folks, the message of the gospel is clear and plain. The message of what Jesus did and why He came is clear and plain. It's proven from Scripture. The Bible tells me so. That's why I know. God said it. That settles it. The question this morning is, will you receive it? And will you believe it? I like what the song said this morning that we sung at the very beginning. You say, Pastor, how do you know He lives? Because the Bible says so. Amen. How do you know He died on the cross? Because the Bible says so, as Jesus loves me tells us. You say, but how do you know? Well, praise the Lord, I know. Because He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You say, Pastor, how do you know He lives? Because He lives within my heart. Amen. As everybody in here sung this morning. Could you sing that honestly? He lives within my heart. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He lives within my heart. That's the thing that separates what we believe from all those other things out there in the world. It's the fact that we serve a risen Savior and He's in this world today.
Amen.
And I know that He's living no matter what men may say. I see His hand of mercy, those miracles working. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time when I need Him, which is always every second of every day, guess what? He's always near.
Amen.
You say, I feel hopeless today. I feel alone. If you're saved, the Lord's with you. If you're not, you know what? You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone. Because He died, buried, and rose again for your sin. If you'll accept it and receive it. Just like these that are now brethren did.